Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Some people are loyal to things like a football team, a music group, or a coffee shop. And some people are diehard devotees of their favorite gas station. Companies like Sheetz, Wawa, and Buc-ee's have become more than just gas stations. They are destinations, offering made-to-order food, gas, and even home decor. These mega stations are hard to miss and have become an essential part of any road trip. Joining us to discuss the rise of these mega gas stations selling more than just gas is Kevin Williams, a reporter who recently covered the topic for the New York Times. Welcome to All Sides, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
So can you start by telling me how large some of these mega gas stations can be? I mean, what are we talking, you know, square feet and stuff wise?
I mean, Buc-ee's is in a league of its own. Some of their stations, gas station buildings can be 15,000 square feet. But like a Sheetz, which have been populating central Ohio, I mean, their gas stations are 8,000 square feet. You know, we used to think a gas station, a couple thousand square feet, but no, they're morphing and they're definitely getting larger.
Now, in your opinion, do you think they need to be this large? You know, if you walk into a Buc-ee's, you are amazed and you think of like all the things in there and how much time you can spend in there. And then maybe a part of you also thinks, why?
Yeah, I've thought that. I mean, again, Buc-ee's is sort of in a league of its own. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find a Buc-ee's in your neighborhood like you would a Sheetz. But do they need to be that large? I mean, no, probably not.
Now, Sheetz, Wawa's, they have gotten larger as well, too. I mean, they have Sheetz, for example, offers indoor and outdoor seating now. They've remarked on improving their bathrooms, having more stalls, making them bigger, and they've expanded their kitchens because in order to make all those made-to-order sandwiches, they need more kitchen space. So in order to meet the needs of what people want out of a fancy gas station, they're growing larger as well.
It's true. I mean, they want people to spend time. They're also preparing. They've got one eye on the future and the EV age coming. So when people arrive with their electric vehicle to charge, and it's going to take a half hour, they want to have something for you to do there. You're not just sit in your car and wait for it to charge. Come on in and eat, shop. So that's another reason you're seeing these gas stations, which I hate to even call them just gas stations anymore. They're really combination restaurants. I mean, they've got drive-through lanes, mm-hmm. some of them, co-working spaces, you know, but yeah, they want you to spend time there.
Yeah. Did you, in your article you wrote for the New York Times, did you look at all into how much gas they actually sell versus the food and the stuff?
Yeah. In fact, I've never made up a word in an article before, but I actually put gastronts in the article, but the editors knocked that out.
Oh, you should. Yeah, you should TM that. Yeah, there you go. It's a new word.
That's what they are. They're like gastronts, but they are selling more. I was never able to get an exact statistic on it, but it's like the National Convenience Store Association or whatever told me they're selling more other stuff than gas now. Most of those stores. You know, your Sheetz is a busy restaurant, and oh, they sell gas on the side.
Yes. So they present themselves as a gas station, all those pumps on the outside. But then I wonder if they're making more money off of the food.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the margin on a, grilled chicken sandwich. Have you had the opportunity to go into Sheetz?
Yes. In the Sheetz and Wawa wars, I'm a Sheetz girl, hands down. Yes. I enjoy their MTOs. They have those pretzel buns and you can just, I'm into the Sheetz. So the margins on my pretzel sandwich is better than my gas.
Yeah. And every time you press a button on that kiosk to add that, ranch seasoning or that they give you option like, you know,
extra cheese, extra ranch, yes. Extra pickles. Yep. There we go. Yeah.
Pads their bottom line every time. That's far more profitable than gas.
Now, a few of the Sheetz I've been to, I've noticed more electric charging stations as well. So again, less gas. And I mean, they still are a gas station, but just focusing on the food, but then also adding more of these charging stations. They want people to plug their cars in at the Sheetz. Is that right?
Yeah. And they're not the only ones. I mean, as you've mentioned, Wawa is doing the same, operating from the same playbook. Casey's, which is another one, they tend to be in the more rural areas around the cities, but there's some in central Ohio. They're known as much for their pizza as they are their gas, but they also want you to charge up too.
Now, can you tell me about density? I feel like here in Ohio, there are a lot of sheets have opened, especially here in central Ohio, and some of them are pretty close together. I mean, arguably, you can drive just a couple of miles from one sheets and then there's another one. And I read in your article, Wawa is a chain that also tries to work on density. Once they build in a location, they build more. What's the strategy there?
It's what you said. It's they're trying to create these economies of scale. I mean, I remember when Sheetz first came to Cambridge, I was like, oh, it's getting closer. It's getting closer to Central Ohio. And then they just went right down I-70 to Columbus and, oh, we'll open a few locations in Greater Columbus. But no, suddenly they're all over the place. And now they're moving westward and they're doing the same thing in Dayton. By saturating a market, they can dominate the market. They're because they do so much food, they're not really worried about cannibalizing their own business. I mean, like McDonald's, you can put a gazillion McDonald's. So it's just creating economies of scale. It doesn't make a lot of sense to have two or three sheets in a market. It makes a lot of sense to have 15.
Are you from Ohio? You happen to know about the sheets in Cambridge? That's a very niche thing.
No, that's a very sad thing that I know because I like this. Places too much. When I would travel east, I was a sheets guy,
I see.
Now.
Okay. So Cambridge, Ohio, is about an hour and a half from Columbus. And for the longest time, years and years, decades, it was the only place with the sheets. It was the closest sheets to Columbus. But
I
now,
know.
you can practically throw a rock and hit one. So, they really exploded and expanded. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And we're talking about the rise of the mega gas station with Kevin Williams, a reporter who recently covered the topic for the New York Times. Now, as we're saying, you and I appear to be Sheetz people. I know there's at least a couple people in my newsroom right now who are going to be yelling at me because they love Wawa. So let's talk about this cult following. Especially Buc-ee's has a cult following with its beaver mascot. We don't have a Buc-ee's here in Ohio yet, but one is coming soon. There's one expected to be opening next year in Dayton. How did this start where people just have this desire to love one mega gas station or how did you say it? The gas restaurant word? What is that?
Gastrons. I mean,
Gastrons, yes. How did this happen that people decided they had a favorite one and they are like fans of it?
it really comes down to just loyalty and familiarity, which breeds comfort. I mean, my guess is if you look at the Columbus market, I don't, you probably either just shop at Giant Eagle, or you just shop at Meijer, or you just shop at Kroger. People don't, people find their brand and they usually stick with it. And that's what's happened with the gas stations, but they've built that loyalty by, Sheetz doing their pretzel buns, Wawa doing their hoagies. They're known for that. Buc-ee's is known for their beef jerky. Speedway, which that's an Ohio one. Speedway, based out of Springfield. I've got my big gulp that I'm drinking, but they had their cult following with their big gulps. I will say also that this is putting tremendous pressure on the homegrown chains like Speedway and UDF, who had their own cult followings, but they were never quite as loyal. And then when you get these other products coming into the market like Sheetz and Casey's and Wawa, it puts a lot of pressure on the local places.
Are these mega gas stations trying to become the next, I don't want to call them shopping malls, but they want to become a destination, a place where people wander around and spend time. Is that the goal?
That's the goal. And they're taking away market share from legacy fast food restaurants like McDonald's, Burger King, Subway, because you can do it all there. You don't have to make two stops to get gas and then go somewhere for lunch. And a good lunch you can get. I mean, I'm not I know a true foodie would probably look down their nose at saying Sheetz would be a good meal, but you can get good food at Sheetz, in my opinion. So you don't have to make multiple stops.
And you can please the whole family because there's so many
exactly.
options there. Yes. Now, yeah. while gathering information and researching for the article you wrote for the New York Times, did you find any gas station chains increasing their size and products in order to mimic or compete with these gas stations? Do the Speedways of the world and the smaller, you know, the Circle Ks, just the smaller ones, do they need to up their game?
I mean, the really small ones, there is still a place for the, you know, the corner convenience store that you can literally run in, run out fast. I mean, there's still a place for that. But yeah, I mean, like if you go down I-71 to the Kings Island exit, mm-hmm. there's a brand new UDF there, mm-hmm. A prototype UDF. And it's amazing. It looks like a, you know, the inside of a sheets kind of. You can
Does it focus on ice cream? No.
No, the focus is no longer just on ice cream. Okay. They have everything. Mm. And that's no accident. That's direct result of the pressures from your sheets and your Wawa's.
Did you get
and
a
Speedway?
Yeah, go ahead.
Been bought by 7-Eleven. Mm. Yeah. They've been under pressure for a long time to up their game. And I think for Speedway, it's kind of now or never. They need to up their game now or they're going to get rolled over by Sheets, in my opinion.
Did you speak with any smaller gas station owners? Kind of like the idea of a mom and pop gas station where they either own a franchise and they have a name on it, like a Marathon or something like that, but they're just a family that has owned a gas station for generations.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, they're kind of like, well, we've been doing this for the past 30 years and it's worked out just fine. Then all of a sudden, you know, the 500 pound gorilla moves in next door and they're really threatened by it. People don't have people are attracted to the name brands of a Sheetz or a Wawa, and they'll ditch their neighborhood Marathon station very quickly for one of those bigger brands.
And you did do a little bit of reporting about some towns being opposed to, you know, a Sheetz or a Wawa coming into their town. You reported on one town in Michigan that rejected a Sheetz and they ended up winning. It didn't open. Can you tell me a little bit about what happened there with people not wanting the mega gas station?
Yeah, and this similar scenarios are playing across Ohio too, but in Michigan, Sheetz was trying to plant its first flag in the mm-hmm. state in a Detroit suburb. And they picked this vacant but busy corner. But it was an old restaurant. And, you know, it was, I think Liz Taylor had been a guest there once, Bob and Dolores Hope. It was an old time retro steakhouse that used to attract luminaries. And I think people just didn't want those old memories trampled by pretzel buns. Mm. Now, that having been said, the site's now still vacant. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, what's better, a vacant lot that's just kind of decaying or a Sheetz? I don't know. The people there obviously thought, let's hold off for something better.
And have you noticed, because you mentioned it's happening in certain places here in Ohio, do people want the busyness? I mean, because something like a Sheetz or a Wawa, they're open 24/7. They have lots of lights because they have to be lit up and they're always open. So that can change it'll change the vibe of the corner that it moves into.
Yeah, I mean, where they're getting the pushback is when Sheetz has started moving their strategy, moving away from the highway mm. and getting more into subdivision type areas, that's when you get the pushback because people don't want that bright light and the traffic and stuff like that, as you said, 24/7. So that's where they're getting pushback. As long as they stay contained to areas that are more conducive for that, then they're generally okay.
But you did interview one person in your article who said that he could now walk from where he lived to get food at a gas station that was like actually good food and not just potato chips. And so he was pretty happy that it opened up away from the highway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I won't lie. I'm thrilled that Sheetz is now like, you know, I can be at a Sheetz and well, I can't walk to a Sheetz, but I door dashed from there before now. You know, it's
yeah. You don't have to be on a road trip in order to have the Sheetz meal. It can just be something you can get on a random Tuesday, right?
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time. We've been talking with Kevin Williams, a reporter who recently wrote about the rise of mega gas stations for the New York Times. Thank you so much for joining us on All Sides today, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
And coming up, from Buc-ee's to Sheetz to Wawa, we're talking about the marketing and customer loyalty of these mega gas stations. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. Your support of 89.7 NPR News is essential. We cannot bring you the trusted news you count on without listener support. Consider renewing your membership today. Just pick the amount that works for you and make a gift. Members like you are our largest and most reliable source of funding. Make a one-time gift or become a sustaining member when you call or text the word GIVE to 866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. If you ask a person if they would eat gas station food about 20 years ago, they would probably look at you funny. Ask that question today, and they will probably tell you about brisket sandwiches, made-to-order subs, mac and cheese, and hoagies. Some gas stations like Sheetz, Wawa, and Buc-ee's have evolved into full shopping experiences and have loyal fans of their numerous food options. Joining us to discuss this is Brian Hipscher, a senior lecturer in marketing and logistics department at Ohio State University. Welcome to All Sides, Brian.
Thanks, Amy.
So you started your career at 7-Eleven at a time when mega gas stations were not as popular as they are today. What do you make of this evolution of the mega gas station into a full retail and food experience?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say back when I was there, which was some time ago, travel centers were the idea, you know, and you would see when you're traveling, you know, distances at major cross intersections of the highway, travel centers, and they would include food, but it was still convenience store food. Mm-hmm. So you get the roller grill, the hot dogs, and this kind of a thing. And regular convenience stores at that time were definitely trying to figure out how to do fresh food. But again, it was very limited, much more packaged, ready to go type of food. And maybe if you're lucky, a hot dog or some nachos.
Yeah. When I think of 7-Eleven, I think Slurpees, right? And that's what I maybe even with 7-Eleven, I don't even necessarily think of getting gas. Was that, did 7-Eleven become known for its Slurpees?
Yes. So definitely many 7-Elevens did not have gas mm-hmm. early on. Most of them do now, at least in the United States. But globally, interestingly enough, 7-Eleven, for example, in Japan is known for its food, for its fresh food in particular. So even back in the 80s and 90s, food was a big part of their business. And I think convenience stores took notice of that.
Okay, so 7-Eleven is having a booming business in food in Japan.
Yes.
But then they didn't do that quickly enough here because Sheetz and Wawa have the market.
They were completely trying to figure it out for many, for decades, trying to figure out how to do fresh food and do it right. They did a pretty good job with donuts and this type of thing where they were getting fresh donuts every day from commissaries. But the magic in fresh food is being able to make it to order in store. And that's where it's harder. It's a lot harder business.
In a way, do gas stations make their money from food and drinks and the items in the store rather than selling gas? Is that now the
case?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably 70% of the profits for convenience store / gas station is coming from inside the store, not the gas itself.
Okay. So maybe the Sheetz and Wawas of the world figured that out one day, that the margins were better on food, and they leaned in the right way.
I'm sure.
So why do some of these places, like Buc-ee's, what made them decide to go even more non-traditional, home decor, clothing, toys, and become gigantic?
They are a super interesting brand. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's nice is they must be very entrepreneurial to try things out to see what may or may not work. Bucky's is more of a travel center, so they are going to be located outside, you know, of the cities. And as people are stopping, they want to have something to do. You know, so they're known for their clean restrooms, and it's nice to be able to go in to, you know, take your break while you're getting some gas, and who knows what you might find there. Their brisket sandwiches, great. You know, beaver nuggets, another wonderful thing. But, you know, if you think about things like clothing and some of the strange things that you really might not expect to see there, like ceramics and plates and cups and home goods, these types of things. Kind of make it a destination away because you're surprised. You know, you're surprised at what you're seeing, and you might make an impulse purchase for a gift or something like this.
It makes me think of the gift shop element of a Cracker Barrel, right?
Absolutely. There's definitely an element of that.
Yeah. So while you're waiting for your table, you wander around and you end up buying something.
Yes.
So these mega gas stations have kitchens where they make made-to-order food. There's one called Casey's, which has just under 3,000 locations in the Midwest. And it is the nation's fifth largest pizza chain by volume. That shocked me.
Yes. I have a good friend who's actually one of their marketing folks there. So, yes.
So rather than marketing, come here and get gas, they market, come here and get pizza?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or deliver pizza, have pizza delivered. So
okay. So they do DoorDash, they do delivery.
All of it. Yes.
So you can order pizza from a gas station.
I think that's an important shift that's happened, is that consumers now can imagine, food is a great option, or can be a great option from a place where you used to get your gas.
Mm-hmm. Are they starting to compete with fast food restaurants then? I mean, tell me about the marketing of a Sheetz versus a McDonald's or a Wendy's. How are they approaching it? Are they doing the same thing McDonald's has done back in the day?
Right. So I think for a convenience store, they're focusing primarily on their convenience. You know, what's driving the traffic to come in initially is you have a reason to go there. Once a week or every other week, you're getting your gas, and you might be getting something at the same time. But as you come to learn that, hey, the food here is pretty good, and there's other things that I might want, it could become a destination. So definitely fast food restaurants are taking notice of what's happening in convenience stores, and have done so for decades, actually. It's just been improving each and every year. And with companies like Wawa and Sheetz and their expansion now, it makes them more concerned, like, well, what's going to happen, and how much more will this be expanding across the country?
I don't think we're going to see McDonald's adding a gas station component, will they? Or they'd be more likely maybe to add an EV charging station?
I'm not sure on that, but that I could imagine them having, and they probably already do have some EV charging stations. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't surprise me. They're not cheap. They cost $100,000 to put in a rapid charging station, but still, you know, convenience is important. If you look at restaurants and fast food in particular, you don't really see one anymore that doesn't have a drive-through, and that wasn't always the case. And it's because consumers are expecting that type of convenience.
Now, you kind of tilted your head when I said I don't expect a McDonald's to add gas. Would they?
You know, it's kind of going the other way, right? Mm. Gas stations are adding a McDonald's or a Subway, or I used to work for Charlie's Philly Steaks. They're adding Charlie's Philly Steaks.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the appeal of the mega gas station, like Bucky's, Sheetz, and Wawa, with Brian Hipscher, a senior lecturer in marketing and logistics at Ohio State. So most of these chains are region-specific. Like Bucky's was once only in Texas. Now they're expanding to other states. Ohio is supposed to get one within the next year in the Dayton area. But tell me about the regionality. Is how to survive is to become bigger and grow, or can you stay regional?
Yeah, so it's smart what they're doing by saturating markets and really growing their footprint in a place to leverage their economy of scale and the distribution network. That's really key in the convenience store industry. It's something 7-Eleven discovered a while back, where they had a very national approach to how they applied themselves. They actually left a lot of markets and consolidated in core markets where they knew that they could dominate and have 80 to 100 locations in a metropolitan area. For Sheetz, for Wawa, they're both privately held companies. So their growth is probably going to be a little bit slower and more careful, and which is smart, that they can dominate areas. And really, when they decide to go in, like if they're coming into Columbus, it means they probably have plans to put 30 to 40 locations at a minimum.
Yeah. In recent years, Sheetz has expanded a lot in Ohio. If my numbers are correct, there's about 116 Sheetz in Ohio. And I did read that there is a Wawa there's one Wawa and more to come, but the Wawa is kind of closer to Cincinnati, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. Are there more Wawas to come then, or do they just test out one?
It would be they may test one out. That mm-hmm. that might be an approach that they take. But the strategic idea, I think, if you're going to enter a market, if you're going to go outside of your home market, is that your plan is to basically saturate that market. So mm-hmm. if they're going to be coming in, I would expect that they'd be building dozens of locations.
Now, from a marketing perspective, you're a marketing professor. Do you feel for the smaller gas stations, the mom and pop gas stations? I mean, what do they do?
It's not easy. It's mm-hmm. not an easy business. And especially if you are kind of stuck in the four walls that you've built, that mm-hmm. there's quite a bit of investment that you would need to make in order to compete. So you need to find how am I going to differentiate myself? In many cases, the number of gas stations has decreased, actually. Over the last 20 years, I think it's reduced by 30 to 40%. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is we've seen larger stations with more pumps. Mm-hmm. When previously there might have been a smaller place that had, you know, you can imagine it, you know, maybe four pumps, this type of thing. There are a lot fewer of those around.
Now, do you think that the Sheetz, the Wawas, the Buc-ee's of the world were good at seeing the future? Did they know that increased EV sales were going to be a reason that they need people to stick around longer because it takes, you know, more than 20 minutes to charge a car?
I'm not sure that they necessarily had that idea initially. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been around a while doing food very well, mm-hmm. and they've been able to dominate in their markets. And as they go into other markets, those markets just weren't prepared, you know, mm-hmm. for, oh, wow, we need to actually compete with this. And there is a distinct advantage when you consider, well, do I want to go to Sheetz or do I want to go to maybe the other location that doesn't have as many services or isn't as large, or the bathrooms maybe aren't as clean, or you don't know.
mm-hmm. So. Now, let's talk a little bit more about marketing. The billboards, advertising the food rather than gas. Does Sheetz... Sheetz doesn't need to say we're a gas station. Right?
Customers know. Yeah. If the table stakes is that you know that they've got gas, then how are you differentiating yourself? And especially if you're on the highway driving down the road and you're trying to imagine, well, I need to get gas. Do you want to get gas and then get back in the car and go sit in the drive-thru at the place next door to get your food? Mm-hmm. Or if you know that, hey, the food, that they've got everything that I need right here. This is convenient. I can get it one stop and be done.
What do you think of the Sheetz marketing campaign where they like use puns off the word Sheetz?
They're clever.
I mean, sure. Are they? Yeah. What do you think?
Absolutely. No, I think it's clever. I think it defines their brand identity. They're a little bit edgy, you might say, and it's attention getting.
Yeah. So, and what about? I mean, I'm not as familiar with Wawa. I haven't spent much time because Wawa is more east from here. What kind of do you know the marketing for them?
Yeah, I think they're more into building a community and being a part of the community and really promoting that fact, like what they're doing in the community, in their local community.
Okay. And then Buc-ee's, they just say you're 100 miles from Buc-ee's, you're 90 miles from Buc-ee's, yep. Like, right? They're into the repetitiveness.
There's that, and they're exporting Texas. I mean, and that's kind of fun, right? That you can have a little bit of Texas in different parts of the country now.
So where do you see the future going? Because you mentioned that smaller stores, maybe your Marathons, your Circle K's, I'm just Speedways pulling names out of a hat.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of gas station companies, right?
Yeah.
So where do you see the future of these going? Because you mentioned that these places, you know, there's a lot of pilot stations that add maybe a Wendy's and Arby's and McDonald's, that kind of, like, where do you see the future going?
Yeah, no, I think that most convenience stores are experimenting and trying to figure out how to get into the fresh food business. Simply, it's a profitable piece of the business and it's a growth area for them. 7-Eleven, as an example, I think they recently announced they were adding 600 locations that have something called a Laredo Taco, which is their own home brand of a taco restaurant. So yeah, I think that they've seen that there can be success in this. And some of these locations may turn over, you know, a smaller gas station may turn over into something that becomes larger and replaced with something that is a requires some investment, but something that's different.
We talked a little bit in the earlier in the show about density, mm-hmm. where building more of these, because I feel like there was no sheets for the longest time, and now they're built. Now they're just a couple miles apart. How does that work? You can have them close together.
You can. There's a location strategy in the gas business in particular, mm-hmm. where you know even. You can almost have them across the street from each other, mm-hmm. based on the traffic that's on the road. Because if you, as you think about your morning commute, when you're driving down the road, what is the most convenient location for you to get gas? And are you willing to make that left turn, you know, to get to the other place? So you may actually, some people go to one gas station on their morning, you know, if they're getting on the way into work, versus another gas station that's just on the other side of the street mm-hmm. on the way home. So there is that possibility to do that, although usually they're going to be a mile or two apart when they're going in someplace.
So they're not competing against each other. They're not building them in that. They don't mind that. It's more of the convenience of the convenience.
It's convenient locations. Good locations can make and break. You know, mm-hmm. a gas station for that piece of the business, for sure.
Can you do a little predicting of the future? Are we just going to see more sheets and more Wawas? When does it become too many? When does it become saturated?
If I was trying to predict the future, yeah. I think it will be interesting to see as electronic vehicles become more prevalent. Mm-hmm. I think today they're saying like around a little more than 1% on the road are electric vehicles.
Mm, that's not very much.
But yeah. 10% of all new cars purchased this year were electric vehicles. And 40% of customers say that in their next purchase, they are highly considering an electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. So it may take a decade before we see a tipping point with electric vehicles. But what's that going to do to fuel centers, you know, into gas stations? Will they need to convert? And if you think about in a metropolitan area, most people are plugging in at home. So are they really going to need rapid charging in a metro area? Much more so in a travel situation where you're going distance. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. And it might be that these convenience stores, gas becomes a much smaller part of their business, and they really do need to survive on the other offerings that they have.
I wonder if at some point, though, we'll tip the other way and charging will become faster and people won't need it. It'll become as fast as pumping a tank of gas and people won't need to spend the time in the store.
Absolutely. Heck, you might have a drone that drops off your battery while you're on the road. You never have to stop. So
right. Yeah. I'm thinking that. So, you know, you talked 10 to 20 years from now, but maybe 40 to 50 years from now, we don't need to spend time sitting at a sheets.
Very well possible. So, but the yeah. idea for convenience is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to get something quick. Now, whether that could be delivery from the sheets to the person's home, that mm-hmm. it's actually a distribution hub for close transportation.
We'll just end on from a marketing perspective, the word convenience. Do people like that word? Is that a word that they should all lean into, that they're convenience stores, or are they restaurants, or are they gas stations? What word are we leaning toward here?
Yeah, convenience. We're a convenience-starved society. Yeah. We want things easy and simple. We don't want friction in the buying experience. So people who figure out, how do I make this buying experience as easy as possible and as convenient as possible, they win.
Hmm. All right. Well, we've been talking with Brian Hipscher, a senior lecturer in marketing and logistics at Ohio State. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Amy.
And coming up, we're going to talk about the growth of these mega gas stations and how it's impacting Ohio's existing convenience stores. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.
Looking for a convenient and easy way to manage your charitable giving? Consider creating a donor-advised fund. A donor-advised fund helps you easily manage and keep track of the incredible organizations you support, like 89.7 NPR News. You select your investment options and grow your fund tax-free. For more information, contact our advancement team by visiting wosu.org/legacy.
It's summer fun for everyone. Join WOSU at family community events and festivals all summer long. Have your picture taken with beloved PBS characters, do a craft, show your WOSU spirit, and win prizes. For all dates and locations, visit our events page, wosu.org/events. We can't wait to meet you.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking about the growth of convenience stores into mega gas stations with way more than just gas. They have award-winning restrooms, elevated food offerings, and electric vehicle charging stations. While you wait for your vehicle to charge, the gas and EV station operators want you to spend time and spend money. But what does the growth of these mega stations mean for smaller convenience stores? Joining us now is Alex Bernkaw, Executive Director of the Ohio Energy and Convenience Association. Welcome to All Sides, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about your organization, the Ohio Energy and Convenience Association. Who do you represent? What are your goals?
Yeah, well, thank you. We're proud to represent all segments of the fuel and retail supply chain. So we represent the largest regional chains and national brands, as well as family-owned single operators. So we're very proud to have a very diverse cross-section of the industry. And Ohio is such a great place for the industry right now. We're seeing growth and expansion. We're seeing a lot of investment in the state in the convenience and fueling space. So it's exciting to be a part of it.
Now, we spent the previous part of the hour talking about Sheetz and sure. Buc-ee's and Wawa.
Yeah.
Are they a part of your organization?
Yeah, we're proud to represent all those brands, in fact. Yeah.
Okay. So when Sheetz moved here to Ohio or started expanding, were they in communication with you?
Yeah. So I'm actually from Western Pennsylvania, so was familiar with Sheetz. And we were excited about their growth and their investment in the state. And as you've seen since then, we've seen a lot of other national brands come here as well. And we've been fortunate to be able to work with most of them.
Now, how do you balance the Sheetz of the world with the mom and pop stores? Because you're representing the interests of both. So is there room for both?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Smaller footprint stores, independent stores, larger footprint stores, they know their customers, right? They are in different parts of the state and different communities. So there certainly is room for both. We have seen, the larger footprint stores invest in the food service side. We're starting to see that filter down even to the smaller footprint stores. But Ohio is a big state, right? So I think we definitely can accommodate all sizes of retail operators in the convenience industry.
Do you know how many convenience stores there are in Ohio? Do you have a number on that?
Yeah, we have about 6,200.
6,200.
Yeah.
All right. I'm writing that down because I didn't have that number.
Yeah.
So How does your organization define a convenience store? What does it have to have?
Sure. Well, 90% of the convenience stores in Ohio sell gas. Now, there are some that are just in neighborhoods and offer almost like a grocery-type format. But for the majority of which, there's some sort of fuel that's provided. And convenience stores, I think that term is evolving, what a convenience store is. Mm-hmm. Now it's prepared food. It's hot food. It's made-to-order food. And it's still that traditional format of just grabbing a quick bite or a few, household items, while you're on the go.
Now, your organization is called Ohio Energy and Convenience Association.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing for the energy part, you're talking gas, but now you're also talking EV, too.
Yeah. Our members want to provide whatever fuel, consumers prefer. So right now, that's still overwhelmingly liquid fuel. Mm-hmm. If EV continues to evolve, our members are already investing in that space. Perhaps there's another fuel on the horizon, and we want to be there to offer that fueling experience that consumers are obviously familiar with.
Now, the word convenience that's in your name, Ohio Energy and Convenience Association, is that word going to stick around? Or are, because these places are coming, becoming more restaurants or tiny shopping malls.
Yeah, I think that term is evolving, but it's still one that, that folks or consumers are familiar with. And I don't expect the word convenience leaving our association anytime soon.
Okay. And the Buc-ee's that is coming. So Ohio is getting its first Buc-ee's in the Dayton area.
Yeah, it's Heber Heights.
It's slated to open in about a year.
Yeah.
Do you expect more, or is it just a one and done?
Buc-ee's is distinctly different from a Sheetz, a Wawa, or even like a UDF or a Speedway. I'm sure you've probably been in one. I mean, it is a huge footprint. It's large fuel islands, but really that's a destination, right? It's not a Buc-ee's isn't necessarily a quick in and out, you know, if you're on the go. It's a lot of prepared food. It's a lot of general merchandise even. Mm-hmm. So their business model is not to put a Buc-ee's, at least in Ohio, I think, on every corner, every highway exit. But I think a few strategic investments make sense. But again, they're in a little bit different space than a lot of the traditional operators.
In the Sheetz versus Wawa loyalty battle, are you, I mean, you said
love
you're from Western
Pennsylvania.
Yes, you have to love them both in your job. But if you're from Western Pennsylvania, we might know where your loyalties lie. But there is at least one Wawa here, right?
Yeah, so there was the groundbreaking down near Cincinnati
last
year, and they plan on opening, I think, around 60 stores in the Cincinnati, a little up to Dayton as well, and then also investing in Kentucky and Indiana. I have to check if that Wawa is open yet. It might have just opened.
I read a lot about grocery stores in the past couple of days. Not grocery stores, convenience stores.
Yeah.
Wrong word. I've read a lot of in the past couple of days, so I'm getting mixed up. But this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the growth of mega gas stations and its impact on Ohio's existing convenience stores with Alex Brunka, Executive Director of the Ohio Energy and Convenience Association. Tell me about the idea of having these convenience stores and gas stations not located on the side of a highway, like putting them into suburbs away from a highway. What's the strategy there?
I think it depends on the company. There are going to be convenience retailers who want to stick very close to the exits of highways, and there's others who maybe are considering a format that's more of a, to your point, almost more of a destination or restaurant format, and those probably would be more advantageous and being a little bit further from highways, but that's a company decision, right? They know their business model and what works. So I think that will be the determining factor. Is just, do we want to be, you know, are our customers, and they know their customers better than anyone, are they the folks who are just getting off a highway? Do we want to, you know, expand more into the community?
Earlier in the hour, we talked with a New York Times reporter who wrote about the rapid expansion of these mega gas stations, but he also wrote about some towns rejecting having these gas stations there. One town in Michigan rejected a Sheetz proposal. They didn't want it in the location that Sheetz had picked. Has that happened in Ohio? Do people sometimes oppose them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly is the case. You'll find that across the country. For whatever reasons, those local municipalities might not want a convenience store in a certain location. Maybe they wish it was, you know, some other retailer coming in. Obviously, that's a case-by-case basis, but I'm sure it does happen here, yeah.
What are you hearing from the mom-and-pop-owned gas stations, the smaller operations where they have just run a gas station and it's been in their family for 30 years and they've done it the same way for 30 years? What are you hearing from them about the growth of the Sheetz and Wawas of the world?
Well, we're proud to represent those folks, and you know, those type of operators have been in their communities for a very long time. They're very invested in their communities, and again, they know their customers well. We think that there's plenty of opportunity and healthy competition in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some, you know, anxiety for certain business owners, as there is, I think, in any industry when you see consolidation or when you see new entrants into an industry. But those single store operators who've been successful, there's a reason that they've been successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ties they have to the community and to their customers will help them continue to succeed while we see this new growth and these new entrants come into the state.
Are they talking to you about what they should do or how they should expand or change? Are they talking to you about adding more food, or if they should be adding EVs, like what should they be doing?
Well, food is the trendy thing right now, right? The margins on prepared food can be upwards of 60%. You know, you compare that to gasoline, you're lucky if you even make money on gasoline. So I think they're looking at those same things that some of the larger operators are. Can we accommodate a kitchen? Is there certain types of food that we want to offer that our customers might find appealing? They're every bit as innovative, I think, as the larger operators. So they'll follow those industry trends. And again, if it's something that the customers want in their community, I think they'll be there to provide it.
Sheetz is building a food prep and distribution facility in Findlay, Ohio. So it seems like they're truly investing here. They're here to stay and continue to grow. What are your thoughts on are you involved at all in this distribution facility?
Well, Ohio is great for distribution centers in general, right? We're within a day's drive of two-thirds of the population of our country. We're going to see that investment continue across the board in retail. And we've done a great job of attracting that investment. So, I expect it to continue. We hope we get more distribution centers here. We directly employ the convenience store industry and fueling industry, directly employ 100,000 Ohioans. And then you take into account all the supporting industries on the wholesale side. I mean, we're major contributors to the state's economy.
Was your organization involved at all in the bringing of Sheetz here? Because they were a lot in Pennsylvania. North Carolina is also a big state for them. And then Ohio is their third biggest place to have stores. Did you help bring them here?
Yeah, we can't take credit for that. You know, I think they're looking at, you know, that's a business decision where it makes sense to invest. And we're very fortunate that Sheetz, along with many others and existing operators who are already here, are also investing a lot in their stores right now. So we're very fortunate in that regard.
When they build, do they build in a new site? Does Sheetz build from scratch, or do they ever like buy out an old gas station?
You know, I can't speak for them directly, but I think it just, depending on where they want to invest, they're going to make that decision. Do we want to acquire an existing footprint? A lot of times, larger operators will kind of build from scratch. They have a new store design. They want to build that from the ground up. But I think, again, it's probably a case-by-case basis. Maybe it does make sense in a certain part of the state to purchase an existing site and kind of reformat it.
Back in March, Sheetz had a big hiring day. They said they needed to hire 250 employees with on-the-spot interviews and immediate placements. This is directly related to the rapid growth in this area. Sheetz is ranked second by Fortune as one of the best places to work in retail. How many people are employed? You mentioned some numbers. Do you know how many people are employed in this convenience store industry?
So the convenience segment has about 100,000 employees in the state of Ohio. But when you look at the retail industry at large, which, you know, I should back up a little bit here, the Ohio Energy and Convenience Association is an affiliate of the Ohio Council of Retail Merchants, and that larger organization represents 7,000 retailers across the state of Ohio. And again, that's from the largest retailers in the world all the way down to folks who own a small store on Main Street. That larger industry footprint, that's one in four jobs in the state of Ohio is tied to retail. So we are a very retail-centric state.
If the margins are better in food than in gas, how do some of these smaller mom-and-pop gas stations stay in business then if they're not making any money off gas and they have just a small store?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of different opportunities in food, right? They can partner with different vendors who might have, you know, for example, fried chicken that, you know, gets delivered daily, just-in-time delivery. There's different food offerings that don't require you to have a large kitchen. Now, certainly, the Sheetz is the Wawa's, UDF with ice cream. Those other operators do invest, you know, more maybe in that space because they're able to. But I think there's still a lot of opportunity in the food space where you don't have to necessarily have a huge store.
Now, did you say that 90% of the stores have gas?
In Ohio. That's
in Ohio.
Correct. Yeah.
How do you know the percentage of how many have EV charging stations?
I do not.
Okay.
You know, I know the previous guest mentioned this. Investing in an EV charging station is still very expensive. It's about $100,000 for a fast charger. That being said, I think retail, not just in fuel and convenience, you know, even in grocery or, you know, general merchandise, if someone's going to be at a location for 20, 30 minutes, that's a great opportunity for retail, right? So I think there's still going to be investment in that space. The EV segment, you know, has grown over the years. But retailers, especially in the fueling space, they're still going to lean into whatever fuel is the predominant fuel.
If you're going to predict the future, which I'm going to make you, right?
Okay.
If you're going to predict the future, are we going to go more EV, you know, 10 years from now than gas?
I think liquid fuels are still going to be the dominant fuel 10 years from now. you know, obviously there could be changes in technology, right, where charging gets even better or faster, or the performance of the vehicles improve, but we are still predominantly a liquid fuel economy, and I think that's going to continue at least for the next decade.
Talk to me about some of the stations that have very fancy, like, restrooms, and they include showers for and that kind of thing. Is that a growing industry, or is that just mainly still for truck drivers who are on the road a lot?
Well, as I mentioned, we are a state that, you know, we have major thoroughfares north, south, east, west. So trucking is a big industry in the state of Ohio, and there's going to be certain retailers that cater to that industry, and I think that's where you're going to see the showers and things of that nature. So I don't know that that will expand beyond kind of where it currently is, which is, again, in the truck stop kind of sector of convenience retail. Yeah.
So truck, do you categorize truck stop sector different than, like, the MTO, where we're getting an MTO?
I think they're all part of the convenience industry, right? Mm-hmm. And we are fortunate to represent some retailers that have truck stops that they designate as truck stops. So, yeah, I would say a truck stop, you know, has the footprint to accommodate semis and larger vehicles. You'll typically see that separated out from, you know, regular passenger vehicles. So that's kind of how I would separate it out, right? They actually kind of cater to having the space to accommodate semis and large vehicles.
Right.
Yeah.
Do Sheetz, so the Sheetz boom has happened. You know, we have a lot of them.
Sure.
I think the number was 116 in Ohio. Yeah. Is it, are they done, or are we going to keep getting more?
That's a great question for Sheetz. I mean, we hope that they keep, as you know, as long as it makes sense from a business standpoint, we hope they keep investing in the state. I think Ohio is a great market, and that's why you see not only Sheetz, but a lot of other national chains that are also deciding to venture into Ohio. And I think that will continue.
We've been speaking with Alex Bernkaw, Executive Director of the Ohio Energy and Convenience Association. Thank you so much for your time today, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And I want to say thanks to our staff, Senior Producer Marcus Charleston, Producer Aaron Esmont Rabinowitz, Student Producers Chris Corcoran, David Stein, Iza Huck, and Colin Simpson. And a special thank you to David Stein, who produced the show today. Also, our Student Producer from Denison University is Kiara Burson. Video production by the Ohio Channel, board operation by Chris Johnston and Cameron Howard. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen at our website, wosu.org/allsides, subscribe to the All Sides podcast, and every episode is available to listen to in the free WOSU mobile app.